ongoing dialogue of the God Journey podcast. Many of us are waking up to God's not a formula to be worked. He's a God who loves us, who has a purpose in the world to redeem it back to himself, who will work good in our lives through the most horrible things that we face.
When we first started this whole podcast thing, you and I were trying to come up with a name. I just remember somehow the whole God Journey thing settled.
And we've had people tell us that was a stupid name.
Those just few words say an awful lot of true things. This is my journey. This is just my deal, my little story. It's not about me. I am just a supporting actor in a greater drama that isn't about me.
All right, there's a bunch of things to announce, huh?
Announce.
Last time we were on the cliffhanger of your granddaughter about to emerge.
My daughter running to a hospital. You no more got out of this house than we got a phone call from my son-in-law. He says, Lindsay's here. I'm going, you got to be kidding. She just left here. She had very little time at the hospital. No time for pain meds, which she wasn't real thrilled about. But yeah, and little Lindsay Grace comes into the world. So gosh, that was fun.
I told my wife. Yeah. And my wife, she went to the hospital when? And she had her baby when? And this is the lady that's had two of our children that lasted 3 days of labor.
Yeah, not happy, huh?
No, she didn't have the same joy I did at the announcement. She just kind of went, oh. So I'm sure we'll celebrate. But it's like, but you know, life's like that. It isn't the same for everybody.
She had 30 hours the first time of posterior labor, incredibly painful, enduring. That's what Julie had the first go-round, second go-round. Popped out so
different.
Fast, but it was painful because she didn't have any pain meds and just a mess. So it was quick.
You know what? You and I have no idea.
No, nor do we want to have any idea. That's for sure. And then Amy's the first granddaughter. She's getting used to having the new one around, and she's
how's that going?
Just kind of working through that. You know, one really sad deal. We had this the Sunday after Lindsay was born. We had the family over and my son-in-law's parents and just had a Sunday afternoon together to celebrate Amy's birthday because Amy's got a birthday a week apart from her sister's. And we had a lot of fun with her. She's a lot of fun to have around. And then we got dinner ready and a birthday cake, and all that put on the table. And Amy didn't want to come and eat. She didn't. And no amount of coercion, persuasion could get her there. She just, she has these tendencies to melt down once in a while. And this was kind of like a world-class meltdown. She just went off like a Roman candle. And I went, oh, goodness gracious. And so they took her out of the room. And, you're going to sit down on the stairs. And you're going to wait there until you can straighten up this attitude. And you're going to come in and eat with her. No, I'm not. She throws this huge tantrum. And they just walk back in and sit down to dinner with us. So here we are. Six people.
Supposed to be celebrating Amy's birthday.
Six people who love this little girl more than anybody else in the world loves this little girl, and she doesn't have a clue. And I'm thinking as I'm sitting there going, this is probably what God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are always dealing with. They're probably sitting here going,
here we are ready for the party, and we got another one of our kids is chucking a fit down on that planet there that can't quite understand how much we love them.
I mean, we are ready to
Isn't
celebrate
that wild? Amy.
And Amy is so self-possessed at the moment. She's a master manipulator even at three because she just goes, Daddy, all I want to do is play, Daddy. I just want to play with you, Daddy. She just screams. And I thought my kids were brilliant. I tell you, for those two young parents to deal with that at the parents' house, the other parents-in-law there, the kid melting down, and they just handled it so beautifully. And they just came back and sat down, and she'd scream and say, Amy, when you calm down, you come join us. And they would just go back and just let her do a little meltdown. I thought they were brilliant about handling it. And finally she did. Finally she came in and we could celebrate her birthday. I'm thinking, how many times do we do that? I mean, God wants to celebrate us. God's whole deal is not this egotistical, worship me.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, he's not. He's there to celebrate his creation in us. And we're so picking, demanding about the way we want it to look, we can't even make it to our own party.
We'll go to our own party.
That is sad.
That is sad. But wow, what a wonderful picture for, unfortunately, where a bunch of us have been and hopefully are not.
Hopefully learning not to be. When God's ready to party, I'm ready to party too. We got one of those things from Dave in Rhode Island. I love this brother. He's a great brother of ours, and he's gone through a change in his life and wrote us a deal. His mom's come to live with him for a bit, and he says he's learning a tons from that. And if you've never had your parents live with you, you owe it to yourself to try that someday. He says, Father has used this situation to change me and my priorities. But look at this. I've tired of chasing bandwagons and know what he wants me to focus on in the moment. Along with my mom's situation, he's laid others in my path that I'm blessed and privileged to be part of. I'm so tired of what seems to be endless thoughts of what this life in Father's kingdom is supposed to look like. And I've done my share in that thinking, but I'm learning to rather live in what he's already made clear to me and what he's placed right in front of me. And I know many others are learning this as well. He's so good, isn't he? Isn't that great?
Yeah, that is a massive change in your life. Because, I mean, it's funny. The last couple of weeks, I had a bunch of different phone calls from folks. And almost, it's like annoyingly, I mean, hopefully no one that they called me is listening.
they'll be listening.
Yeah, but annoyingly, people are always like wanting to know what my expectations of something are. And it's not, I'm not like out of touch with reality or myself, but it's like my response is, I don't have any. I'm not setting any. I'm not trying to, and I'm not trying not to. I just have shifted going like, I'm just kind of responding to what is, and I find that far more satisfying a way to live life and respond to it, being able to respond to it, as opposed to the constant friend of disappointment that comes along with your expectation-setting little demon,
exactly.
I think.
Exactly. And isn't that the hardest thing God rips from our hands, I think, in this whole process? Because the only way God gets your expectations is by disappointing them.
Dissing them pretty proud.
Over and over and over again. I mean, that's the only way to get to that. Saying, you don't have a clue. You're sitting on your little stair, whining your eyeballs out, screaming and crying. I just want to play with you, Dad. I just want to play with you, Dad. And I'm just saying, come on in here. Cool off. Come on in. Let's party together. Let's celebrate you. Let's celebrate my life in you. Let's embrace the moment. Let's celebrate what's right in front of you today. And we're sitting there all freaked out about, what's it going to look like? What's it going to look like tomorrow? What's it going to be? And, oh.
See, all the religious demons are popping off right now with the sense of going like, well, what do you mean? God's in heaven trying to celebrate you? Oh, you're the focus?
We don't have religious demons listening to this podcast. Come on, what are you talking
about? I heard a couple, all right?
Okay.
We're live now.
I didn't know we were live.
But that is such a different mindset for folks, especially when you approach the subject of religion, because most people aren't thinking that God's thinking about me.
Yeah.
Most people are trying to be holy thinking about God.
Yep.
And they're in a little religious fit on the stairs in their whatever they're trying to do. And it's like, once you're in touch with the fact that God really isn't doing that about himself.
Yeah.
Like, how great I am. I mean, he's not up there worshiping himself. And he is in love with us, and if we could get settled in that,
if we could get out of our
what
own
life would be
selfish preoccupation long enough. And I think even part of this, what religion does to us on this quote unquote God journey, is it makes us so focused on what we want, and now God's my new tool to get it. Instead of, no, you kind of lose all that. At some point, you got to lose all that, and you really learn when you know God's looking out for your back. Then you don't have to look out for your own back anymore. You don't have to try and make circumstances what you want to be. You don't have to waste. I mean, we're in the middle of football season here in America, and boy, the endless speculation all week long, radio shows, talk shows on TV. Well, I think this team's going to win this weekend because of blah, blah, blah. None of that ever happens. None of it ever happens the way they say it. I honestly think that what Paul's addressing with Timothy in the pastorals when he talks about don't give way to idle speculation. Don't, the whole act of expectation or even speculation. What do we want the church to look like? I get this question all the time. What do you think the church is going to be in 10 years? Who gives a rip? I don't have a clue. I know what she is today. I know who God's put me in touch with. I know who he's asked me to love. And I enjoy living that out fully. But how are we going to do church? And who's got the new form? And how are we going to put that form into place? And we got to get on this bandwagon. That stuff is just exhausting.
You have no idea how many times I've heard that question asked.
I heard every week.
But I've never heard someone says, who gives a That is a first for me. That's wonderful. That's very refreshing.
I'm more honest here, obviously, because these people aren't in front of us at the moment.
There you go.
Anyway,
that's fantastic.
Dan expressed kind of the same thing. Dan from KC. Love Dan from KC. He might come out to spend a weekend with us just to play some golf and fool around. That would be fun.
There you go.
But you don't play golf, so sorry, you're out of it. Speaking of which, I absolutely love the discussion about it's not about church. I had not quite put my finger on it until you and Brad talked about it, but the thing I was growing weary of was people continually discussing how to do church. This discussion is just as wearying if it is people in a large organized structure or just a few trying to be a home church. We have close friends in both, and sooner or later their conversations always seem to return to what new thing seems to be working and disappointment over the last thing that didn't. I love how you and Brad redirected to bringing the conversation back to talking about him and a living, active relationship and finding freedom in that walk with him. Share that life that we find in him together, and you have the church. Good stuff. Thanks, guys. You did it again.
That's awesome. That's a good summary. Wow. You got it.
Yeah. And for all of you who have written saying, I want a mug. I got to have a mug.
Okay, we're not merchandising at all.
Well,
no,
we're not giving them away.
Well, we're not merchandising, but I think the mug is really cool.
The mug we had, in fact, we've done a little bit of a different design, and you can see it on the website if you want to. It still says Gratefully Disillusioned, but it's got a neat little font style of saying it, so we'll make that available. But we've got a brother who actually made the first ones who said, yeah, I'll make as many as folks want. And he's going to ship them out of his place up there. So we're going to have links on the website you can order from and through PayPal or credit card or whatever. And he's going to make these mugs, and they're going to be in two sizes like we had them, so you can choose which size you want.
The tall one. The tall one.
The tall one. And there's but even the smaller ones are kind of a big mug.
Cool.
But, yeah, so they'll be pretty cool. And we're also talking about these T-shirts we've talked about forever. We have an artist out of Chicago who made us a lovely little sketch for Gratefully Disillusioned. So we're also going to put it on some T-shirts. I don't know if we'll have that done by this Friday, but pretty quickly. So, and the point of it, we're calling them conversation starters, because what we're hoping that happens with the mug, and we've actually, you don't know this yet, we flip the mug around. Normally with right-handers, I'm sorry, left-handers, I know you're going to feel left out, but you know what? It's just not the majority of people in the world. But when a right-handed person holds the mug, The God journey bit is going to be pointing at them, and the Gratefully Disillusioned will be...
Oh, it's brilliant. That's great.
It's perfect. So those will be available Friday, week, December, November 30th.
Whether anyone gets a mug or not, you know what's so cool? Is if you actually... as we were talking earlier, I was realizing, I think for a number of years, God gave me every morning a wonderful cup of disillusionment. And today I was celebrating the gratefulness of recognizing that, you know what, I no longer am living with all of these preset expectations and that constant friend of disappointment, that I really am gratefully disillusioned with the sense of going like, you know what, I don't want to live life that way. And it's not that I can't forecast or think ahead or plan. It's just the fact that, you know what, the truth is I have enough to respond to today that I just want to be present in that moment to enjoy it. I think that's a little bit of what Jesus was saying. I don't think he's saying, don't ever think about tomorrow.
Right.
Give no thought to that.
Although he did say something like that, very close to that. You're actually quoting him when you said he never said anything like that. And you know what? He actually did. He said, give no thought for tomorrow.
Yeah. But when you bring in Proverbs, and it gives wisdom lessons about the ant that prepares for winter and summer.
So Jesus disagrees with Proverbs. Do you take Proverbs over Jesus? This is a good biblical interpretive
question. Okay, bottom line, I think the best hearing of Scripture is in the whole of Scripture. And so I would even not try to put words into Jesus' mouth, but I would say, guess what? I don't think he's dissing altogether the idea of thinking ahead, because part of life does require that.
Yeah, I'm already thinking about dinner tonight.
So you're with me on this one.
Plus the Packers are playing the Cowboys later.
Thank you, pal. So you're
not tomorrow. That's today.
Yeah, but you're already there sitting on the couch watching that. The dynamic, though, is it so oftentimes we're operating out of fear. I'm wanting to avoid the bad outcomes.
And that's what he's saying, obviously.
Or I have that sense of I've done X, Y, and Z. God owes me A, B, and C. And when it doesn't happen that way, I'm a little disillusioned, disappointed, because I thought, this is why I was doing that. When you use something as a tool to get someplace, you're robbed of the joy of enjoying it.
Yeah, see, and I thought you'd just been better rather going to Proverbs, going to where else Jesus said about, if you're going to build a tower, count the cost, the plan ahead. I mean, there is elements of that in the tasking that we do. I think what he's saying about, like you said, Luke 12, Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount kind of language, is, hey, don't let your anxieties run herd over you. Don't do what you do because you're afraid things aren't going to work out. Do what you do in the full trust that your whole life is in the hands of the Father. Your whole life is there. And if he's got the birds of the air and the flowers of the field in his hands, boy, he's all over you. And so instead of whining out on the staircase and crying and screaming, come on in and sit down at the table. The Father loves you. And I do think the whole dying to our expectations and speculations and trying to make the future fit into something that makes me fearless, finding my freedom from fear in my guaranteed future, is as futile an act as there exists in the world.
Yeah.
And finding our security in him and what he's doing in us, I think there's just great life there. And I hope the disillusion thing, because I got some email we might read up here a little bit later, but I hope the disillusion thing and even some of the sacred cow tipping, some of their shirts and mugs that we're talking about doing and making available over the next little bit, I hope they're not about people, again, Sunday morning crowd versus the people who are free from Sunday morning.
Oh, God forbid.
You know, we got some email this week that's just concerned that that's kind of what people are getting from this. And I do think people who are, you know, escaping the Sunday morning, particularly if it's an abusive, hurtful environment, there's a little angst there. The language goes there very, very quickly. But
those are their issues.
The conversations we're hoping to start is how disillusioned we are with that religious obligation process. And how, it, in fact, this is about a relationship with the living God. This is not, and that's,
and has nothing to do with where you find community.
Exactly. If you
whether
find
that's
it,
organized and scheduled or not.
Yeah, if it's on a Sunday morning or Saturday afternoon or Tuesday night or, you know, Thursday morning in a tree, I don't care where it is. And I
the
think
tree
that,
thing I like.
Yeah, the deal about outside the box of organized religion to me is not about those who aren't going on Sunday morning anymore.
It's not about a meeting, it's a mindset.
Because, yeah, I meet a lot of people who are still part of those Sunday morning deals, have hope for seeing some of the one they're involved in revitalized, involved with some great people, and it's the test of whether you're on the God journey is not if you've left the Sunday morning event or not. That just needs to be so, and we got to say it every week if we have to, because I think people very quickly think, oh, it's about that. You guys are all, nobody should go to church, and nobody blah, blah. I wouldn't say, no, nobody really goes. The box doesn't count. It just doesn't matter to God. If he has you there, be there. If he doesn't have you there, don't bash it, don't hit it, don't throw things at it. It doesn't do any good. Oh, boy. I'll get to take a break. I'm pretty tired.
He got yourself riled up. You know another thing about the, you know, before we leave this all together, you were coming up to the Christmas season.
Yep.
And what's so funny is there's an absolute joy in gift giving if you don't cheat and peek and sneak. It's no fun to get a bunch of gifts that you already know you're getting.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, at least not to me.
Okay.
I think it's a whole lot more fun when you kind of are able to sit back and someone really does know you. And they really have invested themselves in thinking about, you know what, this would be wonderful. This really would mean something. This, I think, will excite them. And when you get a gift that communicates that, that's absolutely wonderful. I think, unfortunately, for a lot of us, towards God, we're like writing him a Santa, dear Christmas letter. It's our prayer list. I want these answers. I want these gifts. I want these blessings. And we're kind of little kids or little Amy sitting on the stairs. It's like when it doesn't happen quite like we want, as opposed to trusting that this person kind of knows me far better than I even know myself,
yeah,
and is already predisposed to me in such a way that says, oh, I can't wait. You have no idea what I have in store and want to do. That really is his base predisposition towards me.
Yep.
If you were in touch with that and you were able to approach life with that sense of, oh my gosh, well, I wonder what's going to happen today. That would be a radically different life.
Yeah, like Dave's letter, what's right in front of you today? How is God in that? And we so want that to look a certain way.
You miss it.
You actually miss what God's doing in the very things that are right in front of you. You just miss it. You got a birthday cake on the table with your name on it. And you're out whining in the staircase because you just can't figure out how to get there.
That's marvelous.
Boy, but I tell you what, gift giving isn't always fun. I tell you, our gift receiving, I actually opened up, this goes back to our last podcast. Matter of fact, I opened a package from my in-laws, who, God rest their souls, are no longer alive, and it was a package of underwear.
Wayneware.
It was, no, it was just underwear.
Was it Wayneware?
And it was that old disgusting kind I don't wear anymore. But I just went, okay, this, and then they gave my wife, their daughter, like a $1,000 check. So obviously, the relationship wasn't going well.
They were making a statement, Wayne. Did you hear it?
We're going to make a statement under the Christmas tree.
Here's your skivvies. Boy. Here, honey. This is for you.
Oh, boy. But I tell you, I've gotten lots of email from people dying to know what brand of underwear I've located.
Are you telling?
I don't even know. I have to go look in the package, and I don't have them handy at the moment. But I had one guy even write and say, could you please give me the name of this? Because my wife wants to get me some for Christmas. You. I'm going, okay, I'm not helping.
I had
that
a bunch
process.
Of emails who were hopefully thinking I knew the answer. It's like, I do not know what Wayne's underwear are. Sorry.
I don't let Brad look in my pants. I just don't, you know. Got this from Bill in South Carolina. So just wanted to send you a quick note about the latest podcast. First, I hope all is well with the new baby. And second, I love the story about the underwear. That was a hoot to hear you guys go off a cliff in conversation. Just kidding about the cliff, but I almost wrecked when I heard the story. The parallel to truth is right on, but funny. I am thankful that I have your podcast because I identify with being freed from the club setting. There's that inference again. Not that I need validation, but it helps me focus on how God is encouraging my thinking. I agree that far too much has been changed to go back, but I'm still involved with believers who are part of it. And loving them. So that's pretty cool. Almost went off a cliff when I carefully out Woo! There to listen to the podcast. And then this. We read lots of positive letters because we get lots of positive letters. Occasionally,
yes, we do.
Occasionally people say, yeah.
Did we get a ding?
It wasn't a ding. It was from a brother who absolutely loves what we do. He and his wife listen to us all the time, but they had a concern. So they wrote us and loved us. And he was shocked I wrote back. But, you know, we do that occasionally. And when I don't declare email bankruptcy like my partner.
I actually responded to a couple today. I guess I'm in recovery.
That's because you had 2 weeks without any Shaq books around.
Yes, I was blissfully backordered, but
now we've got a whole warehouse full of them again, so we're starting over.
No, they're already quarter out.
Oh, quarter gone already.
Yeah.
Hardback version coming out.
Coming out,
next
having
week.
Fun.
Yeah. Wow.
Out soon.
Anyway, this is from a very good friend, a brother I've met, been with, love him, and I loved his heart in expressing some things, and I think it's good for us to talk about these things. So I'm going to read part of it. He said, it's been incredibly difficult for me to recommend the God Journey to friends. Although my wife and I often listen together, we have both noticed an increasing edge to some of the comments that you and Brad have made regarding the church. And I have also noticed that your words, and hear me as I say this, because I know your hearts are not like this, are reflecting less compassion for what most people still acknowledge to be the church. I know that it's only four walls and a box for people to find some sense of belonging, but it has made me sad to hear you guys talk about the rest of our family that way. God is still using her powerfully to change the lives of people, even in its broken state. I'm not sure I'd agree with that statement, but that for other reasons. There is, as you have even said yourself, a lot of danger of seeing ourselves as special or set apart or even disillusioned as opposed to those who have not seen the light, when the truth is that Jesus has simply called us on a different journey from them. Good letter.
Yeah, that is. And I wouldn't disagree with any of the points that are being made, other than I'm not sure, I mean, having not listened to ourselves in recent to check, the reality is I don't really look at the church with a sense of wanting to ding her.
Right.
I think it's the religious mindset organization that unfortunately isn't freeing people into enjoying that simplicity of a friendship with God, but that really is herding them into another agenda.
Yeah, and I think we got to keep in mind, we said earlier in the podcast, the box is not a building or lack of a building. The box is how I think about God. Is it religiously, I've got to do all these things, even the Christmas list.
Yeah.
You get it if you're nice, not naughty. You know, that God's always checking, that God's always... That view of God, often encased in Sunday morning religious environments, not always, often, is a problem. And we're going to talk about it pretty openly. But I agree with the heart of this thing. We're not going to turn around and say, okay, we're better because we're out of that.
Oh, not at all.
And that's... Boy, if we're conveying that, we don't want to. Even when we talk about free-range believer, and I love the term...
It's a fun term.
But I think we're going to lose it to people who say, well, the free rangers are us who don't go on Sunday morning, and the cooped up chickens are the ones that are in that chicken coop on Sunday morning. And that distinction is wrong, and it's false. I know a lot of free rangers who are regular parts of Sunday morning events, are there because God's placed them there. They love the people that God's connected them to. To think that free range means, oh, I don't go anywhere on Sunday. That makes me more holy. That's just nuts.
I'm just thinking of a guy riding a chicken, and it's not working for me as far as some arrogant badge. Well, I'm a free ranger. It just, to me, it's a funny term.
And I love the term. We just got to win it for the fact that it's not talking about where you go or don't go to a meeting.
Because...
Has to do with whether you're living relationally or living religiously. That's the point.
Whether or not you're sitting in a meeting or whether you're kind of identified with a group of folks, the reality is that that doesn't remove performance. That doesn't bring intimacy to God. There might be awesome, wonderful things happening in that service amongst that community. There might be nothing. Say there's no like bad fruit of, and it doesn't. But just the very fact that you're approaching that religiously, you can taint a very free environment.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with people out there. It really has everything to do with the truth and what's going on in my heart. And my apprehension of God as a person with whom I am having a friendship. And if that's not being established or furthered, it doesn't really matter whether you're in a club, out of a club, who you join to. I mean, the reality is you can't produce that for somebody.
Yeah, and it's not a matter of just stopping going to one of the things, like you said, and I get lots of emails from this. I stopped attending the blah, 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 you know, 10 years ago, 3 years ago, 3 months ago. Well, and they're saying, I'm empty, and I'm lonely, and I'm struggling. And I think it underscores the point. Just leaving an it is no different than embracing an it. It doesn't do anything. My best understanding of, I think, how the Sunday morning deals fit into all this is, they're just not relevant to God. God's relational. God's about relationship. And he's going to be there on Sunday morning. He's not going to, oh, I can't go there. They've got a box. He can show up there, make himself known, do wonderful things in people. And the value of those things for people who are part of them is not how many meetings you're sitting in a week. It's how many relationships is God giving you with people to help them, serve them, encourage them, grow with them. That's the point. Whether you're in a box facilitating some of that, whether you're outside living without a Sunday morning event, but finding brothers and sisters to connect with. I just think the whole deal is that's not relevant one way or another. Not as a positive, not as a negative. It's just,
one's not better, one's not worse, one's not right, one's not wrong. But there is a dynamic that when someone, that's all they've known, and all of a sudden they step back and they feel empty. Here's the one positive I do think. It's not that they're not attending something. It's that all of a sudden they have a new baseline potentially for reality where they recognize, wait a minute, I thought I had something when I was in this mix, and now I'm stepping back from something that is being provided most of the time for me, and now I have nothing on my own. I think that's essential. And it's not because the box is necessarily bad. It's that, you know what? I've got to find life in Christ, with Christ, for myself if I'm ever going to be with another believer and have anything to share.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm going to be drafting and sucking life from somebody else, and that never sustains. It never works.
Yeah, if you're hanging out with some folks because they encourage your life in him, it's going to be a positive
thing.
That's
great.
Absolutely. If it's the substitute for that, so you've just put another mediator between you and God, whether it's a group of people, whether it's a pastor, whether it's whatever,
it's
not
tragic.
So healthy. That's what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
It's not that there aren't people in your life that God gives you to receive. It's not that there aren't gifts in the body of Christ to teach and make things clear that help people grow. But the question is it helping you grow in him and being free range in his life, or is it breeding a dependency on an event that's still leaving you hollow inside? That, to me, is the most important issue. And I think that's what our brother tries to get to here. He said, I remember some of the earlier episodes of God Journey and how you spoke more about relationship with Jesus and less about what we are not. And I know that impacted me powerfully. There are a few things as powerful to hear as personal stories about people's love for Jesus and things that he's teaching them in their daily lives. Hearing you and Brad talk about your passion and how that is lived out from day to day always makes me fall more in love with him and encourages me in my relationship with Jesus. Love that. I may be way off here and have been many times. I'm also a lot more sensitive to things than most people. So please take the good and throw out the rest. And when I wrote him back, I said, you know what? I don't think the God Journey's for everybody. I don't want to see people running around saying, everybody go listen to the God Journey. If you're not ready to listen to this, it's going to push you deeper into something. So I like the fact it says, we don't always recommend the God Journey to people. You know what? I don't either. There's people I'm talking to. I wouldn't tell them this podcast exists. Not now. Not, this is not the kind of discussion that's going to be helpful to them. This is the kind of discussion that we set this podcast up to encourage people who are thinking outside that box of organized religion. And the problem is not the organized there. The problem is the religion part.
Yes.
It's trying to earn God's approval.
Good distinction.
Being naughty and nice so, you know, we get the list.
Santa Claus. Claus.
Things on our prayer list. Yeah, it's treating God like Santa Claus. That's what we're talking about. And so I'm glad to clarify that. I'm glad that we keep focused on that so people know. And I wrote him back and said that. And he said, he wrote this to respond to mine. He said, having somewhat of a rebellious nature and often finding myself in the camp of those not easily persuaded to conform to the status quo, things that you and Brad have shared on the show have met me in places where I thought I was the only person on earth who felt a certain way. With that said, I do believe you are fulfilling a crucial role, especially in reference to helping people see through the lies of religious obligation, which personifies itself to me as the box with four walls and people that attend on Sunday. So now I almost went back to redefine it in a way I wouldn't. I wouldn't say the Sunday morning box personifies it.
See, but I think that's what's so hard is that because for so long, that's what church has been equated. It's that community. It exists over there. I think that's the biggest challenge is that, gosh, when that's all you've known, and that really is the meaning of church to you, then perhaps you've never come up with a term for why you enjoyed that. It's not because you like sitting there, and it isn't because the worship is so awesome or like I teach it so profoundly. I learned this as a pastor, and at first it hurt me.
Oh, sorry.
Most people are there because of relationships.
Yeah,
they're absolutely really there because the friendships matter to them most. And here I thought,
or their kids need a Sunday school. That's the other reason.
Or I thought it was because I was such a great communicator. Just going like
it was, Brad. No, you were awesome. No. You were awesome, man. I'm telling you. Wow, if I could just sit and listen to you talk every Sunday, I would be holy, more holy than I am today.
But you know, it was so fun to all of a sudden realize that and go, "That's right, and that's good. That isn't unspiritual."
Right.
That's the very dynamic that, you know what, we're meant to be interconnected. I think the real desire behind the God Journey at the beginning was the fact that so many people that are stepping away from that dynamic, they find themselves alone. And our desire was, you're not.
Right.
There's a massive crowd out there that is kind of doing the same thing, but perhaps we're not seeing each other. And perhaps we're misdiagnosing that it's not about the in or out, it's about him.
And I think the biggest struggle of those who have left a regular Sunday morning event, whether they were on leadership or just part of the flock or whatever, the biggest struggle is helping them not create another box. We are so box addicted, whether it's house church, cell church, simple church, organic church.
Yeah, another mousetrap, another model.
The hardest struggle out here is for people who leave something, not looking for a someone, but looking for another something. And this, we talked about the speculation about what should the church look like, and let's get these principles and implement them in a way in a small group that's going to be vital and alive. And I travel to so many of those around the world, and so many of those are just not alive. Some are. Some are people that have learned. But the ones that are alive are not focused on what we're doing. They're focused on him.
Yeah.
And he's giving expression to things that they're doing together. But they didn't get together and say, okay, well, we're going to have plurality of gifting, so everybody's got to share something. And we're going to, you know, not have anybody lead worship because that'll be bad. We don't lead worship here. It wasn't people meeting around principles, even reactive principles to other things.
Right. Those were incidental.
That's part of God. And I do think the whole house church kind of season in lives is often about God still disappointing expectations,
yeah,
still disillusioning us from all the ways we think God has to work to let God be who he really is in the world. And then to come to see the church as she really is that. I think that's why we refer to Sunday morning as clubs. That can be taken as a pejorative. You know, we're kind of demeaning that. Well, when I call
it, a lot of times it is.
Well, for you, obviously, because you're not as mature as me. But when I drive by the golf club here in town, I talk about it being a golf club. That's not demeaning.
Positive.
If Christians want to get together Sunday morning and have this club that they share together, I'm fine with that. I don't really have an issue with it. I do take an issue with, let's call that the church. And anything that doesn't look like this is not the church. That's, I think, where we've got the term wrong. That's why we try not to apply it to Sunday morning events.
What would you think if someone that came up your neighborhood and wanted to talk to you and said, oh, Wayne, you've got to join the Moore Park Country Club, and was talking about the Moore Park Country Club as if it was their life? What would you think?
I'd say, hey, if you're paying my dues, I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not paying
the
dues.
Missing the point there, pal.
Oh, sorry. I'd love to join. It's going to cost me more than I owe. So I'm not joining that group.
But you understand the analogy, though? Thank you.
Yeah, did you understand my point?
Yes.
There's always a cost to joining a club. Make sure you know what the cost is and you're willing to pay it. because otherwise it's going to take you anywhere.
Touché.
That's the whole deal about having a king. Samuel says to him, you want a king? God's going to let you have a king. Here's what this king's going to do.
He's going to cost you.
He's going to rape and pillage your kids. He's going to take them to war and kill them. He's going to take your daughters and be married. He's going to rampage you because he's going to think he's... And I think so. I do think it comes back to the cost. And that's where I think some of us are saying about the Sunday morning events. Hey, if it's just gatherings of Christians to celebrate God's life, we'd be there. If this is something that costs us, sitting through a sermon on guilt...
But the reality is, life isn't found in the gathering. It's found in the relationships.
It's celebrated
around. Yeah. And it's found in a person, in a him. I mean, when you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus wasn't in the Gospels. He wasn't showing up saying, all right, here's the kind of meetings we need to have. He wasn't looking at meetings. He wasn't looking at crowds. He wasn't looking at numbers. He basically called a handful of guys into relationship. And then poured himself into them. And every now and then you had large gatherings where he talked to them. But it wasn't, okay, now it's time to have a large gathering. He was pouring into relationships.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's the powerful life. And he, and our friend even concludes his letter that way. It's good to be reminded that it is so much more than a box. And then also that at the end of the day, Jesus doesn't care about the box at all. He's talking about the Sunday morning event now. It had, not the box, we're talking about the religious obligation thing. It has been an important lesson for me this past year and something I'm sure that I will continue to learn for many more years to come.
Yeah.
Me too.
This thing's a journey.
I'm on that page. And I think with something, Brad, unfortunately, because people come out of what they think is the box, I don't go to Sunday morning meetings anymore. So I'm more special, and God loves me more than those people that are in the bondage there. And I think we're just going to have to keep talking about it once in a while so people get, when we're talking about outside the box of organized religion, we're talking about the religion part. We're talking about you knowing God not through the rules of a system or performance in a system, but you know him out of the gift of relationship that he extends to every one of us. And that may not be clear to you yet. You may not have a clue how to walk that out because, unfortunately, in those environments, we often give more attention to helping people meet the expectations and do what's required that the institution needs.
Or here's a bunch of principles to master. And it's like, that might all be good. But if you don't ever meet the master behind those principles, doesn't matter how well you can do them.
Yeah.
What's the point? It's like a holy life. I mean, I'd take this down to my little kids' level. You know, when there's Moses looking at the little burning bush, you know, and take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. I've just asked them. I said, well, what's holy about the ground? And Taylor loves to run barefoot, so she's really loving Moses, going like, ooh, God's God, barefoot people. I like that.
Obviously, she's in California, not Michigan.
Yeah, true.
Okay.
But in the midst of all that, it's like they recognize it isn't the dirt. It wasn't some physical property in the dirt that made things. It was the presence of a him that was there.
Amen.
And when that's going on in your life and that's central, that makes all the difference.
Thank you for traveling with us on the God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com,